Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line, well, certainly one of my favorite guests, and I hope he's yours too. His name is Ralph Epperson, and Ralph has been in this battle almost as long as I have, and he is probably one of the world's leading experts on masonry. Now, to the average person, masons are people with little red hats who, run around and do a lot of foolish things, get drunk when they get away from their wives, and do a lot of carousing around, and they put on a football game every year, and they have a hospital system that takes good care of children with burns or scoliosis or other physical disabilities. And, the masons seem to be like nice people, and most of them are. But the difficulty is they have sworn an oath, and we're told in the Bible not to swear oaths, and they have sworn an oath to the grand architect of the universe, who, and many of them honestly think that this has something to do with the God of the Bible, which it does not, because the grand architect of the universe, if you read Masonic literature, like books like The Lost Keys of Freemasonry by the man who is often referred to as the greatest Masonic philosopher of all time by the Masons themselves. In fact, that's what his eulogy said, what Manly P. Hall's eulogy said after he died there in 1991, why the Scottish Rite magazine referred to him as often, Manly Hall often referred to as Masonry's greatest philosopher, and then, of course, we're all better off to have known Manly P. Hall, and yet he talks about the Luciferian force behind what's going on today, and then when the apprentice, or when the Mason has mastered his craft and understands really what is transpiring, he will have the seething energies of Lucifer in his hands. I'm paraphrasing what he says, but the term seething energy of Lucifer in his hands is very obvious. These people, of course, have accessed the supernatural power that is in the dark side. I know people who knew Manly Hall personally, and he actually had supernatural power. A very dangerous man. He wrote over 200 books to explain the secret societies that control America, of which Masonry is only one. The Rosicrucians, the Theosophists, the Mystics, the Alchemists, there are many, many organizations, but they all interlock into this, what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. And with that, Ralph Epperson, thank you so much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, it's always my pleasure. You're very kind to invite me.
Well, of course, you've been studying this for an awful long time. You've probably read a lot of the material Manly P. Hall has written, haven't you?
That's correct. Probably six or eight, maybe a 10 of his books, the key ones that are directly related to Masonry.
And, of course, have you read his The Secret Destiny of America, where he tells about the secret societies that control our society?
Yes. Of course, as far as I know, I was one of the first ones to read it and publicize it and make it common. I've written my own book called America's Secret Destiny that encapsulates what he said in his book.
In fact, the three books I think that are his best are The Secret Destiny of America, The Secret Destiny of America, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, and of course the book on the secret teachings of all ages. We actually carry two of those three books here at Radio Liberty. We want you to read what the other side says. They're openly talking about secret societies. Isn't it amazing? Anybody who talks about them here is ridiculed, but nobody ever ridicules Manly P. Hall. The most powerful man in America prior to his death in 1990. We'll be back in just a moment with Ralph and invite your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest today is Ralph Epperson, who has written a number of excellent books, which we carry, of course, The Hidden Hand, The New World Order, and was it Masonry, The Conspiracy Against Christianity? Is that the third one?
That's correct, yeah.
All right, fine. And, Ralph, why don't you tell our listeners how you got involved, beginning to look behind what's going on today, because most of our conservative leaders, most of our ministers, very, very few people are willing to speak out on mystery, on Masonry, because when they do, ministers, of course, have lost their congregations. Certainly, there are very, very few people who have the courage to speak out on Masonry the way you do.
Well, you're very kind, Dr. Stan. I appreciate your nice thoughts. In 1960, I moved to California after college, and I went to work, and I joined the Young Republicans because I didn't know anything about California politics. I'm from Arizona. So I walked in the door, and a fellow came up to me by the name of Jim, who later became a good friend of mine, and he said, what are you here for, Ralph? And I said, I'm here to learn how to vote on governor, you know, Proposition 101, which governor, which judge, everything. He said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. He said, no, you're not. He said, you're here to study revisionist history. I said, what's that? He said, that's my point. I said, are you telling me that history needs to be revised? And he said, yes. And so I started reading in 1960, about 61, I guess, later in 61. And I kept reading, and the more that I read, the more that I realized we had to open up the door of the Masonic Lodge. It is an incredibly evil organization, and I'm not saying that from my perspective, I'm saying it from their own. They admit that they are the most powerful organization in the land, and that they shape the destinies of worlds. And you can see that by studying the numbers 32 and 33, and they're everywhere, including flags of some of the Russian republics prior to the dissolution of the USSR. You can see it in the United Nations. You can see it in the in buildings are built around America. You can see in the back of our dollar bill, these people are really powerful.
And you know, I think they're so powerful that one of the major Christian ministries within the last 3 months has put out something on what's on the back of the dollar bill, and it's a total lie. Oh, everything there is Christian, and it has nothing to do with Christianity. All you need to do is read what the occultists tell you that it says. And why would a major Christian ministry in America, run by a man I personally know and respect, put out something that says, oh, what's on the back of the dollar bill is just all patriotic? And it wasn't patriotic at all. You read what the occultists say. They tell you the significance of the 32. That's the 32 lodges, degrees. And the 33rd is, of course, the ultimate lodge in Masonry. It has to do with basically the number of, what is that, the number of feathers or something?
Yeah, there's right, on the feathers of the eagle on the right-hand side of the Great Seal.
And the number 13, the 13 steps. And this is all occultism. It was actually put on the back of the Great Seal of the United States in 1789. Well, why don't you go ahead and explain the occult symbolism on the back of the dollar bill? People see it every day, but it's hidden in plain sight.
That's correct. And the greatest question we have is, why are they doing that? And that's a very healthy sign, because they're now trying to justify what nobody was talking about until 1985, when I toured the country with slides about the Great Seal and tried to explain, start the discussion of what those things meant. Now they're coming out with articles and explanations that don't make sense. They're not true. Let me give you the greatest example of that. I'll do it very quickly. If you go above the eagle, you'll see a six-pointed star drawn with 13 five-pointed stars. And once you pick that up, draw the lines to connect the six-pointed stars, and you'll discover that you've drawn one triangle pointed up and one triangle pointed down. And now when you pick that up and move it over to the left-hand side over the pyramid, you'll notice that five of the 6 points point to letters. The sixth one, which is the I in the triangle, points to a blank space between Annuit and Septus. And when the other 5 points, the one at 10 o'clock points to the letter A in Annuit, the one at 2 o'clock points to the letter S in Septus, the one at 8 o'clock points to the letter N in Novos, and the second 6 o'clock one points to O, and then the 4 o'clock one points towards the letter M.
And, of course, that's Mason?
Yes. Well, it's an anagram. And you look up the word anagram in your dictionary, and you'll discover that it's the intentional scrambling of the letters in a word to conceal the real word. So you now have A-S-N-O-M, which is an anagram for M-A-S-O-N. Now, that means that the Masons designed both sides of the Great Seal of the United States. And that's exactly what Manly P. Hall taught us in his booklet called The Secret Destiny of America. It is our secret destiny. No, America does not have a secret destiny. That's what we've all been taught. No, it doesn't. I mean, it does. That's the lie. We've been lied to. And it does have a secret destiny, and it's contained in the Latin phrases, annuit septus, novus ordo seclorum. Annuit means the announcement of, septus the conception of, or the birth of, novus new, ordo, order, seclorum world. Announcing the birth of the new world order.
And, of course, this goes back to 1789. And the significance of this, Manly Hall explains to you in his book, The Secret Destiny of America. Now, Manly Hall was a 33rd degree Mason. He was known by Masons, at least the leading Masons all throughout the country. He was a Satanist. He practiced Satanism. He had the ability for astral transition, or he could actually travel astrally. And I know people who've said that they've actually seen him in apparitions. But, I mean, Manly P. Hall talks about this secret society that was here in America. It came from England in the mid-1600s, sent over by Francis Bacon, to seize control of this country. Why? To bring about world democracy. And if you read Manly P. Hall's writings, and this book must be, what, close to 30 years old, isn't it, Ralph?
I think so, yeah.
And of course, he talks over and over again, it's all about democracy, it's about democracy, it's about democracy. And when I hear our leaders saying over and over in Iraq to bring democracy, why would we want to bring democracy when the United States is a republic, and they know America's republic, and there's not one word in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the Declaration of Independence or in the Federalist Papers about democracy other than to say we last thing we want is a democracy. So if we don't want a democracy here, if democracy always leads to dictatorship, why are we trying to establish a democracy in the Middle East? Unless you go back and you read Manly P. Hall's writings, he will tell you the purpose of everything going back to the mid-1600s was to create this world democratic commonwealth. Basically, it was the idea of restoring what Plato had written about in the Republic. These people are very real. Some of the wealthiest and most powerful people in the world are aligned with this movement. And the fact that you haven't heard about it simply reflects the degree of control that the media has over what the American people think. And we carry the secret destiny of America and Manly P. Hall's The Secret Teachings of All Ages. And you can now get them from Radio Liberty.
Well, see, the tragic part is that I would dare say that 99% of the American people have no idea what those symbols mean. Even today, even though we've been talking about it for years, a high percentage of them simply don't know. Now, why is that? And the problem is they're not taught. And then we get explanations like this denomination you're saying. I'm not familiar with that. But they come out with some phony explanation, which simply is not true. It is not. This thing is occult. Everything about this nation's occult. The reason they picked July the 4th, the reason they waited to 1776, the reason there are 13 letters in every almost all of the phrases we use during those days. In God we trust. Don't tread on me. E pluribus unum. All of the annual acceptance all have 13 letters. And there's a reason for that. It's all occult, hidden, concealed. No. By the way, that word does not necessarily mean Luciferian or satanic. It just means hidden. Or concealed, occult, meaning hidden, concealed. That's all.
All right, of course. I, of course, always believed that there have been two forces in America. One was the Christian, the other was the occult. And the occult, you know, was here, was always hidden, it was always subterranean. They couldn't allow the American people to know because most of the American people are good, God-fearing people. It was only in 1935 when Henry Wallace, who was the Secretary of Agriculture, later to become the Vice President of the United States, and even later to run for the presidency back, I think, in 1944 when I was in college. But, of course, Henry Wallace, maybe it was, I guess, it was 48 when he ran for the presidency, but Henry Wallace, of course, was deeply involved in the occult, and he got Henry Morgenthau to put the occult emblem on the back of the dollar bill. Our money is occult. It's, and, of course, look at the symbols. Look at the all-seeing eye. This has been the symbol of the ancient mystery religions going back 6,000 years. So why doesn't the average person know that? Why, very simply, their reality is controlled by the people who control the media.
That's correct. One more comment. If you want to verify this to anyone that's listening, they can do this very easily. Just make a photocopy of the and make it as big as you can of the eagle and count the feathers in its wings. And in its left wing, you'll find 32 feathers, and in its right wing, you'll find 33. And that's also symbolic because of the 32 degrees inside Masonic Lodge and the 33rd, which runs, I believe, the 33rd Council in Washington, D.C., runs all of Freemasonry worldwide. That's how powerful they are. So, and by the way, the Masons have two layers inside their lodge. That's admitted by their own writers. The average Mason denies that. They have no knowledge of it. That's true. They've kept a concealed fact from them. They don't want them to know. So that no matter, and by the way, if you're a Mason, I'm sure that if we asked you, even on the air today, you'd say there is no second layer. But that doesn't tell us anything, because if you knew about the second layer, you would lie about it, because you've been sworn to secrecy. So if you know about the second layer, you would deny it. If you don't know about the second layer, you would deny it. So it doesn't matter. I don't even ask Masons when I find them about the second layer.
Well, explain the second layer, because, of course, what you're talking about is the layer above the 33rd degree, which most Masons don't even know exists.
Well, I call it inside. I think it's inside the 33rd. It is not the entire 33rd degree, but it's inside the 33rd. And that council runs the Masonry. One of the ways you can verify that is from your own literature. I got, in 1985, when I was writing my speech to tour the country with my first book, I went to the Masonic Lodge here in Tucson. I'm not a Mason, but I knew that you could use their library. And by the way, anytime you want a book to read, call your local Masonic Lodge. They're, at least they were very very happy to invite me in to do some browsing and research. So I went in and I looked in there. In their books, the Morals and Dogma, Mackey's Encyclopedia, others that they kept in their own library. And as I left, they gave me a bunch of little pamphlets. And the pamphlets are talking about the 33rd degree council. And it says they are the mother jurisdiction of the world and the mother council of the world. And that sounds to me like they run the whole show. And I believe they do. And one of the other evidences of that is the statue of Albert Pike in Washington, D.C., their number one Mason. From 1859 to 1891, he was called the Sovereign Grand Commander. The plaque underneath, right, you know, in front of the statue, reads that Albert Pike was the leader of the worldwide Masonic movement. And that statue was put there by the 33rd Degree Council. So if anyone knows that Albert Pike was the leader of the worldwide Masonic movement, it should be them, not me, but or you, Dr. Stan, it should be them.
Well, I think that the average... person doesn't understand that within the 33rd degree there are frankly satanic levels. And if you read the writings of Aleister Crowley, he will tell you that after he'd been a 33rd degree Mason for about 12 years, he was invited to go to the next level, or go into these inner level, or join another really satanic lodge. And that's, of course, where he got his background in Satanism. You go on to, the album of the Beatles, you'll see one of their most famous albums. You'll see pictures of Albert Pike there. And those of you who, of course, heard our video of the Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, we'll know that, of course, that people like Marilyn Manson and Aleister Crowley, Marilyn Manson was a Crowleyite. Ozzy Osbourne sings about Aleister Crowley. Who was Crowley? Why, he was a 33rd degree Mason who went into Satanism. And of course, the average individual going to a music concert doesn't understand that there's the satanic overtones of that. Or the person going into a church today, when they play this same sort of music, has no idea what it all ties into. But it is there. There's a satanic movement working at the highest levels of our government, and the average person is totally oblivious to that. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with our special guest. His name is Ralph Epperson, and we carry his books. It's The Unseen Hand, an excellent book. The New World Order and Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity. You can't understand why, of course, the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools until you understand the Supreme Court was controlled by the Masons from 1941 to 1971, and majorities of 8 to 1. 5-4 to 8-1. If this is true, why haven't you been told? Why, very simply. The reality of the American people is controlled by those who control the media, and it's in very, very few hands. We'll be back in just a moment with Ralph Epperson. The Anglo-American establishment
It gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American Establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large, until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Hi, my name is Michael Anthony Perugia, and I approved.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Ralph Epperson, and we're talking about the secret societies that work behind the scenes. Now, there are many secret societies. Certainly, Masonry is a very, very prominent organization. 6 of our last 12 presidents have either been Masons or have been affiliated with Masons. And I wanted to ask you something, Ralph. When somebody is considered an honorary 33rd degree Mason, are they given that from coming up through the ranks, or is that different than the regular 33rd degree Mason rank?
Well, the only example we've got that I know of currently, or recently rather, is Ronald Reagan, who became an honorary 33rd. back in what, just before he left office in what, 1990 or
92? We're having a little...
Ralph?
Okay, there I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Ronald Reagan became an honorary 33rd in the White House, and there have been pictures released by the Masons of him accepting a huge big plaque as a 33rd degree Mason, honorary. And then he they accompanied that picture of him with the plaque that the three Masons gave him. One was in Northern Jersey.
Ralph, are you on a regular telephone because you're fading in and out?
I'm on a regular telephone.
Okay, go ahead then.
Okay, no problem. I'll try to speak up a little louder.
Fine, thank you.
Anyway, Ronald Reagan became an honorary 33rd degree Mason in the White House, and the Masons released a photograph of that in their New Age magazine.
It's amazing, though, that the rest of the media never picked that up.
I know, isn't that strange?
And we actually have those pictures if anybody would like to see them. But, of course, you have to understand that Masonry permeates every aspect of our society, and an awful lot of people really don't understand what this is about. But some of them really do, and they understand that this is a Luciferian organization that really runs the world. They have their people planted at every level, at whether it be in the military, whether it be in the foundations, in the corporations, in education, and certainly within government.
But there's a couple of clues that Reagan was more than just an honorary 33rd, and that is in the letter that they accompanied this photograph with. The letter is addressed to Brother Kleinek. Now, Brother Kleinek is I can't forget his first name. He's the head of the 33rd degree council. He's the Sovereign Grand Commander, and he Ronald Reagan called him a brother. And I would not think that you would call a man a brother if you were just an honorary Mason. So well, I can't say.
Well, now, Ralph, most people are going to find it very difficult to believe that Ronald Reagan would become a Mason in the White House. First of all, we never hear of it, that he would be given this honorary 33rd degree. Maybe this just doesn't mean anything. Maybe he just is sort of, getting to be knighted or something like that. Would that be comparable?
Well, I don't think so. There's one more thing we need to discuss, Dr. Stan, and that is the way he ended the letter, by saying that he was proud to associate himself with the other 15 members, other 15 Masons who have been presidents. And to my knowledge, every one of those other 15 Masons who were presidents were lodge attending, dues paying Masons. So Reagan could not associate with them because he was, quote, an honorary. So I don't know what to make of this. I can't explain it. It appears to me that Reagan was more than a 33rd honorary. I think he was a regular Mason who apparently couldn't go to lodge meetings at the 33rd, so they made him an honorary. That's the best I can come up with, because I don't think he would call this man a brother unless he was truly a brother inside the lodge.
And, of course, this was actually distributed by the Scottish Rite magazine, which is the official publication of the Council of the 33rd Degree Scottish Rite.
I believe that Ronald Reagan, of course, I've been saying this since about 1966, he was a liar and a fraud, and I have been saying it. In fact, I still say it, and I even talk about it now.
But Ralph, he's the most popular president of modern times.
You know, well, let me tell you this, Dr. Stan. I was working in the 64 Goldwater campaign and was just a volunteer. I didn't get paid or anything. I just did. I walked precincts and folded envelopes and folded letters and put them in envelopes and sealed them and put stamps on. I did everything I could to get the Barry Goldwater elected. And I noticed one thing which was very favorable to me was that Ronald Reagan, this handsome, charismatic actor, was touring the country giving the same speech or a similar speech to one that Barry Goldwater should have delivered, and he was being acclaimed all over the country. The media left him alone, and I remember thinking back in 1964, why was that?
Well, of course, he said everything that the conservatives believed. And he gave us the biggest tax increase in history. Everybody's forgotten that. Everybody hears about cutting taxes. But actually, I think it was the Tax Simplification Act of 86, when it first doubled the Social Security payments, gave us the biggest deficits in history. But of course, he was really in favor of cutting government, wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
We'll be back here in just a moment. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of America, it will be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Hi, my name is Michael Anthony Perugia, and I approved of this ad. I'm seeking the presidential nomination of the Constitution Party, and one of the reasons I'm running is to put the interest of American workers first, which President Bush is not doing. Mr. Bush has advocated an immigration plan that would let millions of illegal aliens stay in our country, and the chairman of his Council of Economic Advisors has praised what is called outsourcing, which will send millions of American jobs overseas. In other words, Mr. Bush is importing illegal cheap labor and exporting good-paying jobs that should stay in America. Well, this makes no sense. Such policies are outrageous at a time when so many Americans are looking for jobs and want to work. The sad fact is that neither the Republicans nor the Democrats are looking out for American workers first. As president, I would put our people first. I hope you'll look at my webpage, perutka2004.com, that's P-E-R-O-U-T-K-A-2004.com, and remember, you never waste your vote when you vote for what's right.
Authorized and paid for by Perutka 2004.
The Midwest. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we have, let's see, Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I had a question for your guest or you regarding the Masonic layout of Washington, D.C. What would be the significance of the sun rising from behind the Washington Monument on April 20th?
Ralph, do you have any thoughts on
the
what
possibility? The inaugurations were always conducted, let's see now, on the east side, I think it was, until Ronald Reagan was inaugurated on the west side. Let's see, is that correct? I think I've got it right. Yes, it is on the west side. And Ronald Reagan was the first one ever to be inaugurated on the west side. Now, the obelisk stands for the very presence of the sun god himself, meaning Lucifer. That's in the Masonic literature. And Reagan moved the inauguration around to the other side, and then I think Clinton was inaugurated on the same way. I don't know about George Bush, but I know that Clinton was inaugurated on the other side as well. Now, the Washington Monument is a Masonic building built and constructed of 36,000 different individual blocks, so it's not a true obelisk. But it stands for the very presence of the sun god himself, meaning Lucifer. There, I've got pictures in my video on the New World Order of Ronald Reagan standing in front of it. It's off at a distance, about maybe a mile or two away, but you can see it, and the photograph was taken over his shoulder, and there in front of him stands the obelisk. So I don't think that's directly his question. What was the
Basically, the question was, is there any significance that it has to do with the sun coming up behind the Washington Monument on April the 20th?
The only thing I could suggest would be, it would be March, not April. No, I don't know.
I think, though, Mike, the point is that the national capital was laid out with occult symbols, with basically, it has to do with astrology. We actually carry a book published of all people by Harper and Row called The Occult Architecture of the Nation's Capital, until people understand that at the time the national capital was laid out, and this was in the early 1800s, the occultists were already in complete control, at least of that aspect of it. And of course, they work like termites. They get their people into key positions, they promote one another, and they laid out the planning of the architecture of our nation's capital. And you will find that every major federal building in the entire United States has a Masonic emblem on it. We have to ask ourselves, why? And if this is true, why don't the American people know? That's maybe the same reason they don't know that the reason they took prayer and God out of our schools was the Masons controlled our Supreme Court. Anything else, Bob?
Well,
anything else, Mike?
Yeah, I just want to tell you why I'm asking. Isn't April 20th or the 19th the date of the massacre at Waco, and also the explosion at the Murrah Building?
Well, of course, that's April 19th, but remember, they laid out the that long before Waco.
Yeah. What I'm getting at is it's also the date of Columbine, the Columbine Massacre. And if you look at the video, the movie, Michael Moore's movie, The Bowling for Columbine, you'll see in the beginning, he shows the sun rising from behind the Washington Monument. And he puts a caption there, April 20th, 98 or 99. And I thought that was just very interesting that he would put that there.
I think it's very interesting, but I'm not sure it has a lot of significance. Maybe it has some. If you can ever figure it out, you let me know. Hey, thanks very much for calling. Let's go to Bob, calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Bob.
Yes, good afternoon. You know, the Democratic Republican Party, which was...
You mean the Democrat? You mean the Republicrats?
No, well, I mean the Democratic Republican Party,
okay, fine.
Which Thomas Jefferson was a founding member.
Okay, fine.
Uses, of course, the name Democratic. In its title, if you figure the Constitution ratified in 1787, the Democratic Republican Party comes on the scene at 1792 with Thomas Jefferson as a founding member.
Okay, fine. What was the point you wanted to make?
Well, the point is that the word Democratic is right there in the title of the party of which Thomas Jefferson held office under.
All right, fine, but point I made was the fact you will not find the word Democrat used in either the Constitution or democracy, in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, or the Federalist Papers, other than to decry it, because our founding fathers, of which Thomas Jefferson was not there when, of course, they wrote the Constitution, our founding fathers did not want a democracy.
Well, let's see, we've got Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, and John Quincy Adams in the Democratic Republican Party.
Well, they may have been party, but they did not want a democracy. But anything else you wanted to say?
Well, I wanted to say that the lashing out against that term Democratic to me seems rather insincere, given that the Democratic Republican Party goes virtually all the way back.
Well, we would simply go through history and point out the fact that Plato had said democracies don't work. If you go into the writings of all of the founding fathers, they spoke out very strongly against this whole concept of democracy. Don't interrupt me. I'll be glad to let you have your say. If you read what Professor Tyler said, and he was teaching at Edinburgh University in 1789 when our Constitution was ratified, and he said democracies are a temporary form of government. They last only until the people find they can vote themselves into the public treasury, and then, of course, they go bankrupt and they're replaced by a dictatorship. So I think that history tells us that democracy really doesn't work. What we formed in America was a republic. Every one of our states is a republic. Our federal government is a republic. And you may like democracy, I don't.
Well, what history tells us is that the Democratic Republican Party ran from 1792 to 1824. Thomas Jefferson and James Monroe were founding members.
All right, fine. Well, thank you, sir. Right. Go ahead.
May I ask the caller a question? What role does the Constitution play in your concept of democracy?
I can barely hear you.
The question was, what part does Constitution play in your concept of a democracy? In other words, do you think that we are a democracy or a republic?
You know, I'll even go with the phrase republic. However, I will go with the proviso that we read the section in the body of the Constitution that relates to representatives being elected.
Oh, but that has nothing to do with that. We are not a democratic form. But you're getting way off the subject. But thank you for calling. Well, let's go to Dale from. Go ahead.
Hi there. Yeah, a couple quick questions. I've been watching this turn of events, and it seems, especially reading through history, one name that comes up in particular is Dean Acheson, who was in the State Department with Harry Truman. And I was just wondering what, even though he was as what people would say is an ultra-left-wing socialist, are there any connections with him in Freemasonry that you know of?
All right, Ralph, do you know of any connections?
I'd have to go look in my book. If you want, during the next commercial, I'll go see if he's in there.
He was certainly a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Oh, it's yes. Rooted in Masonry. But I've never heard of Acheson actually being a Mason. But Ralph has a book of 10,000 famous Freemasons. He can look it up for us.
Okay.
Have another question.
Yeah, another one, too, and I'll take it off the air, is I was wondering what happened with Gorbachev when he went to England, courtesy of Margaret Thatcher. From what I understand, he went through a Freemasonry ritual, and when he went back to Russia, that's when a lot of the problems happened, and that's from the perspective of the Russian people. But I would just like to get your opinion.
All right, fine. Do you have any comments on that?
I don't know anything about that.
All right, fine. Well, I will tell you that there is a book written by James H. Billington, who is the Librarian of Congress. We have the pages for any of the people out there who are skeptical. And according to Billington, he was visiting Russia. Now, remember, Billington is the former head of the Smithsonian Institute. He is presently the Librarian of Congress, a brilliant scholar. In fact, we carry one of his books. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. For a time, he was on the editorial staff or the board of the CFR. He is one of the elite. But he's in Russia, and he's driving back to the airport with one of his Russian friends, who says to him, everything was going fine in Russia until Gorbachev went to England and was inducted into a secret Masonic lodge by Margaret Thatcher. And that's all that the story is. So all we know is what Billington says. Is it true? Well, we do know that, of course, that Gorbachev is deeply involved with the occult. You go to his meetings today. The whole undertone is occult. And he has written this document along with Marie Strong, whose wife is a witch. And of course, Stephen Rockefeller, who is books are sold in the New Age and occult bookstores. And of course, Gorbachev, the three of them together wrote the Earth Charter, which has strong occultic underground. So I believe, of course, that there is very much to suggest that the man in the car with James H. Billington was correct. But, of course, Ralph, let's get your reply to the gentleman who wants to make this big issue of the fact that they call the party that Jefferson was in the Democrat-Republican Party.
Well, it is a democracy in the sense that we elect our elected representatives, but they are restricted by a constitution.
Right, and, of course, that's, of course, what the people who support democracy don't want. They don't want any limitations put on what our elected representatives can do, and they want rule by man rather than rule by law.
The Constitution says Congress shall pass no law. Wait a minute. What if the majority in a democracy want it? Wait a minute. If it's a democracy, Congress shall pass any law. No. The Constitution says Congress shall pass no law. The people, the rights of the people shall not be infringed, etc. These are limits on the democracy. So it is a democracy in the sense that we elect our representatives and our president, but he is restricted by the Constitution. He takes an oath not to do the will of the majority. He takes an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution. What kind of democracy is that? If we, the people, want him to pass the law in a democracy, he would pass the law, but he can't because of the Constitution. So this is not a democracy under any sense. Secondly, here in Arizona at least, only 40 or 50% of the electors vote. What democracy is that? If it's only 40%, that means that we're now electing with 21% of the people instead of 51%. So what kind of democracy is there? In our city council elections, we get 6 to 8, 10% voting. 90% are not voting. What kind of democracy is that? See how these problems, and the people who support a concept of democracy never want to analyze that. Tell me what role the Constitution plays in a democracy.
It plays no role at all because, of course, the Constitution is based upon a republic. Well, let's get back to our subject of Masonry and its influence on our society today. And, of course, as we look and see what's happening, we find our leaders are talking about how we want to bring democracy to Afghanistan. We want to bring democracy to Iraq. Well, over in Afghanistan, every single one of the presidential candidates, except the hand-picked one by the United States, that's Karzai, every one of them withdrew because they said this is not going to be an honest election. And yet we certified the election, but there was nobody running against Karzai because everybody said it was going to be fixed and crooked.
Yeah, well, that's to be expected in democracy, unfortunately. In fact, it's not a democracy. There's never been a true democracy in the history of this world. It's always been an oligarchy. Now, I want to be honest with you. I went all the way through college. I just have a bachelor's degree, nothing more than that. I never heard the word oligarchy. I never learned what it meant. Oligarchy is a rule by a minority. And I'm pointing out to you, when 40% of the people who are qualified to vote, vote, it's not a democracy. It's an oligarchy. It's ruled by a minority. Please, my friend, those of you, that are, anyone that believes in democracy, explain that to me. How can we allow 21% of the voters to rule what the majority is going to do? What about, and secondly, what about rights of the minority in a democracy? I love to ask this question. Arizona is a pretty sparse county. It's huge. And over in the west part of town, there's nothing. I mean, the west part of the county, there's nothing. So let's just say they move a bunch of people who are starving from some country, and they move them in there, and they happen to be cannibals. And after 5 years, they become registered voters. They become naturalized citizens. And they can now vote cannibalism in and make it law. They're the majority.
All right, well, that's, of course, is what democracy really is. What we need is rule by law. Well, let's get back, of course, to the subject of at hand, and that is, of course, what's happening as far as the Masonic influence. Do you see a Masonic influence today in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, yeah. We can't, Dr. Stan, it's very difficult to determine by name. In other words, I don't trust anyone saying a man's a Mason. I want documentation. There are people that claim that George Bush, the father, is a Mason. I can find no documentation for that. I've got a letter from a psychologist who lived in a town in Virginia who claimed in his letter that George Bush, the father, as president, was a member of his lodge. But he wouldn't tell me when and how or anything else. He wouldn't document. He just made the statement. So I don't know. So when you can find the man's a Mason, then you've got something. But I will say this. The New World Order is a Masonic dream. It was designed by our founding fathers. The nation was committed to it in the Annuit Septis Nobis Ordo Seclorum. They knew what the time was for it to come to fruition. I believe it was the 1st of January, and the reason it didn't come into fruition was because of people like you and I, Dr. Stan, who were warning the American people something's going to happen in the year 2000.
Well, now, what's the relationship between Theosophy and Rosicrucianism and the Knights Templar and Masonry?
I don't really know, Dr. Stan. I'll tell you why. Masonry runs all of them, and above them is a secret layer called the Great White Brotherhood. I've now found that. They run all secret societies, including the Masons.
Now, what is the documentation for the Great White Brotherhood? In other words, do they ever admit to the fact that there is a Great White Brotherhood?
Absolutely. I've got a book by Charles Leadbeater, who's a 33rd degree Mason, a contemporary of Albert Pike's and of Giuseppe Mazzini and Madame Blavatsky. And he wrote about it in a book. For the moment, I can't think of the title of it, but in there he says the Great White Brotherhood actually runs the Freemasons. Madame Blavatsky writes about the Brotherhood over and over again in her books, and this is the same organization. As far as I know, Pike never wrote about it, but Leadbeater did, and he was a contemporary, another 33rd degree Mason.
And, of course, actually, Manly P. Hall wrote about the Brotherhood as well, and he talked about the Brotherhood and these people who really do run things from behind the scenes.
Now, let me point out one thing. One way we can, I believe, this is all theory, can't prove this, but if you go to the eagle on the right-hand side of the Great Seal of the United States at the back of our dollar, you'll notice that bird has 9 tail feathers. Now, a real eagle has 12. I've got 2 pictures of an eagle landing as it's coming in for landing, like on a twig, or maybe I think one of them is on the arm of a handler, and his tail feathers are extended. You can count them. There's 12 of them. Now, why does our eagle have 9 feathers? And if you want to verify this, I would ask you that if you don't know Bill Schnellman, find him and get him on the air. Maybe you've had him on the air. Bill Schneblin told me, and an audience of about 100 people once, back in about 1990 when I lectured to a seminar, that he said that in all of his training as a 33rd degree Mason, as a Catholic priest, as a Mormon, endowed Mormon, as a Wiccan priest, or whatever you want to call it, witch, he said they were taught in all of these occult organizations that there were nine at the top that he called the Brotherhood. And I believe that's why there are nine tail feathers on the American Eagle.
And we're out of time, Ralph. Thank you so much for being with us. Do you have a website or telephone number you'd like to get up?
It's just, call me, 800-422-3888. That's my home phone. I'll answer the phone, 800-422-3888, or ralph-epperson.com.
Ralph-epperson.com. God bless you. Thanks very much
for
being with us.
Stan, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, this is the time when I want to mention to our listeners that we are going to have an all-day seminar at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course on the north shore of Monterey Bay. It's going to be on the 6th of November. It's a Saturday. We're bringing in outside speakers. Lunch is going to be served, and we hope that you'll be able to come. Certainly, we expect a good turnout. We're going to have people from other parts of the country here. And, of course, we'd like to have as many people as we can from the Monterey Bay area. We're going to be talking about the influence of music on bringing about the New World Order and transforming our society. We're going to be talking about medical issues and some of the scams that are being put over on the American people today. We're going to talk about sustainable development and how it is being used here, especially in Santa Cruz, to control our lives. And the problem with sustainable development, just think about socialism. And I'll be talking as well. Give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time I just want to mention, if you will be able to come to our November 6th all-day meeting, that's a Saturday, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, because we have to have reservations ahead of time. Lunch is going to be served. We have to know how many people are going to be there. And then, of course, we also want to remind you about our website, which is RadioLiberty.com. You can go there, and you can listen to our radio programs on the internet 3 hours a day there. You can listen to our archive programs, and of course then you can link into the other websites that carry our program, which would be AmericanNewsNet.com, The GCNlive.com, RBNlive.com, and Soundwave2000.com. Well, those are all internet sites that carry some of our programming. And, of course, we have 2 hours a day on the shortwave. Actually, 4 hours a day on shortwave, 2 hours in the afternoon, 2 hours in the evening. But we do hope that many of you will actually listen to our programs on the internet, tell others about our programs, because that's how we're really getting the word out, is by word of mouth. And then, of course, if you have not yet seen our video, Iraq, the Untold Story, The Brotherhood of Darkness, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, The New World, The Sustainable Development, The Road to World War III, Iraq, The Road to World Government. These are all different videos we have, and really so many others that go into the background of what's going on today. We hope that many of you, of course, will want to get our videos. You can actually get any 5 videos that we've actually produced for $69.95 by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we have, the Secret Government Special and the Kennedy Assassination Special and the FBI Special comes with a couple of books that will just turn your blood. Your blood to ice water when you realize, of course, how the CIA works with the mafia and how the FBI works with the mafia. But, of course, why should you be surprised? The head of the FBI for so many years, J. Edgar Hoover, who has, of course, been always the conservatives and patriots always have thought so highly of J. Edgar Hoover. But there's no way they could have gotten away with killing President Kennedy without, of course, J. Edgar Hoover's help. He was a 33rd degree Mason. He also had some very, very real problems that made him very susceptible to being blackmailed, and that's why he never went after the mafia until the Kennedys pressured him into it, and he never forgave the Kennedys for that. And, of course, both Bobby Kennedy and Jack Kennedy were both killed under very mysterious circumstances. Saran, shot from behind, but the bullets that hit Bobby Kennedy entered from behind. Gee, how did that happen? It's almost like the magic bullet that Oswald fired that made 2 or 3 right turns before it hit Governor Connally's left thigh. We've never gotten the true story. You can get much of this from our 4-tape set on the Kennedy assassination or from my JFK special, from our Kennedy assassination special. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter or our September newsletter, it goes into the background of our monetary system. And, of course, you'll find a tremendous amount of information there that'll help you prepare for the very difficult financial times that lie ahead. If you want a free copy of our newsletter, if you'd like to, of course, sign up to support Radio Liberty, become a member of the Tape of the Month Club, or subscribe to the newsletter regularly, or, of course, get your reservation in for the seminar, the all-day seminar on the 6th of November, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, because we're involved in a spiritual battle for the hearts and souls of our people, and most people don't even know that there's a problem out there, much less that the media is controlled, and most of what they've learned in school and most of what they believe is simply not true. One of the most difficult times that things that ever happened to me was to suddenly realize that I'd been lied to all of my life about so many important things and so many important stories like Operation Keelhaul, the slaughter of 6 million Russians after the Second World War ended, totally suppressed by the controlled media. So pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, protection, until tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.